you're going to bring it up and just put salt on the wound?
Will you stop yelling at me?
No!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
No, no, you're making me nervous, but seriously.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
No, listen. Is there a question? You're making me nervous.
Diagnosis.
Oh, and a foul!
Prognosis.
Well, that's good.
Osmosis.
And they'll reset. Nowitzki again for the lead. Bang!
It's the doctor, T.C. Martin.
Glad to have you with us. Wednesday, middle of the work week, proverbial hump day. Here we go. T.C. Martin Show coming your way. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Oh, yes. Busy, busy day today. We talk Golden Knights hockey, of course, as we get ready for game number one of the Stanley Cup Finals. It will be Monday. Will it be against Tampa Bay or the Washington Capitals? They will battle it out in game seven tonight in Tampa. You know the name of that arena? They've changed that arena a couple times, too.
I know it's Amalie Arena now.
Right, yeah.
And it's right on the water, so it actually looks like it's in a pretty cool spot.
Amalie? Amalie?
Amalie, I don't know.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't even know what that company is.
Didn't it used to be Amway Arena back in the day?
No, I thought that was in Orlando,
yeah,
the Amway
right.
Center.
Yeah,
that's you know what? The Conseco Fieldhouse, right? Just call it the Tampa Arena. Can we get rid of this?
We're
never going back. I mean, I remember when the San Francisco Giants home opened, what was it? It started as Pac Bell, and then it became something else and something else. And now it's AT&T.
I'll tell you what. You know, it was Candlestick Park where the Giants and the Niners played forever and ever, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the last couple
of
years.
Where did that name come from, Candlestick Park?
Well, it's Candlestick Point, which is in South San Francisco. So that's actually a neighborhood or an area,
okay.
Candlestick Point, that overlooks the ocean, actually the bay.
Okay.
So that's right, Candlestick Park at Candlestick Point. So that was a cool thing. But the last couple of years when the stadium was falling apart and everything, and the Niners were talking about moving, they couldn't find a place to move, they said, well, we got to get some naming rights. And you probably don't remember this. I think it was the last 2 years that the Niners played at Candlestick. You know what that stadium was called?
No.
Monster.com.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Monster.com Stadium.
Yeah.
I remember they had an issue there with the water seeping under the ground from the bay, and it would come up into the field.
Oh, all the time.
I wonder if at any point they'll have that issue in Baltimore because, you know, that's right on the Chesapeake Bay, and that stadium, one of my favorite stadiums of all sports, Camden Yards, and I'm glad that it's not like Coca-Cola Field at Camden Yards at Oriole Park. It's stupid, but I wonder, you know, stadiums that are really close to the ocean and the water like that. I mean, you always wonder if you know, some natural disaster comes, will they have an issue with that? But I saw a game at Candlestick Park once. You may remember this. New York Jets against the San Francisco 49ers. Game went into overtime, and Garrison Hurst had a 98-yard touchdown run.
Yes, I do remember that.
To win the game, like three plays into the game, and it was a good season for the Jets, but not a good start to it.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually lost the first two that year, then they went to the AFC Championship game, ended up 12-4.
The last football game that I saw there was the other New York team, the Giants, in the Jim Fassel playoff game. If you remember how that thing ended,
was that the where the Giants were able to? There was a kick, the field goal, right? They missed the field goal, but the holder, I believe, tried to throw it down the field, and the offensive lineman
exactly.
was tackled.
Exactly.
And it's like it still should have been pass interference just because it was the guy who lined up on the end who he threw it to. So
right.
He was technically an eligible receiver, but the refs blew that one.
Exactly.
I remember that, yeah.
Okay. So let's...
you were there.
I was there.
Wow.
I was there at that game.
And Jim Fassel, if he's listening, he probably likes the fact that I said that they got screwed and it should have been a penalty for pass interference.
We've talked about that game on the show before, and he doesn't like it when we remind him about that game.
Oh, well, then maybe
they're one game away from going to the Super Bowl.
I didn't bring that up, Jim.
It was terrible.
Yeah, that was the divisional round, was it not?
It was divisional or...
It wasn't the wild card, I don't think.
No, it wasn't the NFC Championship game, but it was the game before. So it was a divisional round.
And I don't think the Giants had Eli Manning yet. I think that was pre-Eli, wasn't it?
I want to say
may have been Kerry.
It might have been Hostetler.
No,
Hostetler was before
maybe
that.
Maybe Kerry Collins.
That might have been the Kerry Collins game. Yeah, or Eli. See, now I got to see. I don't know. All right, let's check this out. All right, so we're gonna have to maneuver some stuff around here, Magnum. So I'm just going to ask you to do something on the fly here on the air. What do you think of that?
You think that?
Well, of course.
You know, this is live radio, as you can see. So,
sure.
So schedule changes happen as we speak.
Okay.
So with all that being said, I am sitting here talking to you as I'm trying to get another message to you and the rest of our crew here. So,
are you sending it to me or
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna send.
You're sending
to you
right me now. A text message. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't this great?
This is great. The joys of live radio. See, this is why I can't stand scripted television.
Right.
I like live radio because you know what? You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
It's like a smorgasbord.
Exactly. Well, because we have a bevy of guests here today, we're going to have to try to change things around a little bit. We were going to lead the show off with Cody Eakin from the Vegas Golden Knights. Okay. But apparently we're going to have to make a little a shift change here, so to speak. And Bob Arum will be joining us. Hopefully sooner than later. And we'll talk about Terrence Crawford and the Jeff Horn fight. So Bob is scheduled to join us today. And a little bit later on, John Frankel, who is the correspondent for HBO Real Sports, he will join us today. And just a fascinating story with John Frankel and what the great folks with Bryant Gumbel and HBO do with that. And it debuted actually last night. I don't know if you saw it, but it's the story regarding the NFL's billion-dollar concussion settlement with former players who've been affected by CTE. And so John Frankel did a fantastic job with that. And he's going to join us today as we talk about that. And this is a story that really HBO and Real Sports brought to light here because the NFL, when it was announced that the concussion settlement was settled, people were thinking, hey, okay, great. This is fantastic. These players are now going to finally get some money and everything. Well, what has transpired or what has happened here is that not many of those players have received money. Of the $1 billion that was promised out, only $183 million have been paid thus far to a handful of players. So HBO Real Sports first dove into this in 2013, did a follow-up a couple years ago, and then now did the story that aired last night and will air all month on HBO. So if you didn't see it last night, make sure that you go out and you watch it. Look for it on HBO if you have it at home, or of course you can get on HBO Go, HBO Now, or HBO On Demand. But John Frankel has done a fantastic job with this, and he's going to talk about that with us today. But it is a fascinating story, and it's really bringing the story to light here on what is happening, what is transpiring, how these players who were affected by, you know, concussions and CTE are not getting their money and haven't got their money yet. So we'll dive into that with John Frankel a little bit later on. So there you have it. So a lot to do and a lot to talk about with you as well here today. Now, if you want to join us, you can join. Very simple, by calling in 876-1340. That is the phone number, 876-1340. Outside of the area, it's area code 702. We talked with our listeners the other day about what this Stanley Cup Finals run by the Golden Knights means to you. Jump on board with that with us again today because there's so many elements to this story and exactly what it means to this city, to people here in Las Vegas that were not hockey fans when we first started. But how people have become hockey fans through the Golden Knights, through attending games at T-Mobile Arena, and it's just been a great story all the way around. So we can get your thoughts on that today and exactly what it means to you. And actually, do you feel that this team has more of an advantage if they play Tampa Bay or if they play Washington? So give us a call, 876-1340, the phone number. Follow us on Twitter at TCMartin21 as well. All right, so don't forget, game number 7 is coming your way tonight between the Capitals and the Lightning. This has been a crazy series, and we talked about this yesterday at length with Kenny Albert, who actually did the play-by-play call of the Vegas Golden Knights series with the Winnipeg Jets. And this has been a crazy series as the Tampa Bay Lightning, as you know, had a home ice advantage, but then they lost it immediately to the Capitals, dumping the first two games. And people thought, okay, Capitals will maybe sweep the series or win by 5 games. Who knows, or win in 5 games. But sure enough, what has happened here is this series going to the 7th and deciding game as the Lightning turned the tables on the Caps, and they won the the games 3 and 4 to tie it up. Sure enough, the Lightning come back and win game 5. The Caps win at home in game 6. And now, lo and behold, we have a game 7 while the Golden Knights are patiently waiting now for the winner. And the Stanley Cup Finals will start on Monday. So your thoughts about all this? Who would you rather play? Who would you rather face? Does it matter? In my opinion, the Golden Knights are the better hockey team, period. They have been the better hockey team throughout the last couple months of the season, and I would say even better than Tampa, definitely better than Washington. And I know the Golden Knights fans are probably rooting for the Caps to win this series because that means home ice advantage. Not only do you have a Stanley Cup Finals appearance, but you have home ice advantage if the Caps defeat the Lightning tonight. And there you go. That means games 1 and 2, and then if necessary, 5 and 7 at T-Mobile Arena. How crazy is that? So I know that Golden Knight fans are turning into Caps fans tonight to watch that game. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Al. Al, how you doing?
Good, my man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, my friend. Talk good. To me.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, the Capitals are the biggest choke team in sports, so I think they'll lose tonight. And Tampa Bay, to be honest with you, is the closest thing to the Knights. It seemed to play the same type of a game. They're fast, they're tough, they got good defense. I mean, but I think you're right. I believe that we have the best team with the best goalie and hottest goalie, and I think we will prevail. And I said it didn't matter which one we played. I think we're going to do it in 6.
Wow, in 6. Okay, and I agree with everything that you're saying there, Al, because I can tell you people in Washington, and I would go back there the past couple summers, and I would talk to diehard sports fans back there, especially Cap fans, and they said the exact same thing you said. It's like, hey, you know, we've got this great team. We should have, you know, won the Cup or at least been to the final so many times during the Ovechkin era, and here we sit. Once again, we get our hopes up as season ticket holders, and we fail. And sure enough, you know, after game 4, you were feeling that again because it's a roller coaster ride if you're a Caps fan, and you can't get real too excited if you're a Caps fan. But here they are. Yeah, they are overrated. There's no doubt about that. And I think, you know, Holtby's having a nice little series, but we've seen Holtby blow up at times as well, too. So I don't know how to predict this one. And people have been asking me, who do you like? I can't predict this because I could. There are. You know, there's deficiencies with both of these teams, and I truly believe the Knights are the better of those two teams.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think the Capitals goalie stinks. He's not a big time player. He's just a good goalie, but he's not a big time player. The other kid from Tampa Bay is much better, and he's younger, and I think he'll be eventually a lot better. But the guy from the Capitals is a sieve, man. He's no good.
All right, Al.
Not a big time player. So go Knights. Knights in 6.
Knights in 6. He's calling. Al, appreciate the call. Keep listening and keep calling in. Let's go to Fernando. Fernando, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Hey, from day one, I've been following the team, and no one's selfish. Everybody's together on the same page, and most of all, they're loose and having fun. And we shocked the naysayers of the world. They said it couldn't happen here, and it did. And we are the champs, so we have one more round to go. And I hope we play Tampa Bay, and the Knights will win in 7.
All right. Appreciate the call, Fernando. Thanks a lot. There it is. You know, like I said earlier, and I wrote about this on the website as well, too, it's like the Knights are the better team, and they are the better team for so many reasons. Now, of course, they got Marc-Andre Fleury. There's no question about it. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury is so much better than, he was better than any goaltender in the Stanley Cup. Of course, they had the battle against the Kings in the beginning of the first round against James Quick, and people were going, wow, Quick, if you can get by Quick, then maybe we got something. Definitely better than San Jose, definitely better than Hellebuyck for Winnipeg. And now when you look at the two goaltenders for Washington, Tampa Bay, I know you can say Tampa Bay's got, had a great season, more points than anybody else, great goaltending, great defense, and they have an explosive offense at times, but the Golden Knights in my opinion, have played better. Hence, they haven't needed to go to seven-game series. They've gone to a sweep. They've gone to game six. They've won in game five against the Winnipeg Jets. And here they're rested. They're ready to go. And we are beyond the Cinderella story now. We are way past the fluke stage. This team is just better than most of these other teams that we've seen in the AHL playoffs. And I firmly believe that they're probably better than the Caps. They're better than Tampa Bay. And the Golden Knights should be the series favorite in the finals. Back to the phones we go. Let's talk to Jose. Jose, how you doing?
What's going on, CC? Thanks for taking my call, Danny.
Hey, man. Thanks for checking in.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are conspiracy theorists, so I wanted to throw something different out there to you. A lot of people say the NHL wants this or this sport wants that. The fact that the Capitals have Ovechkin, which a lot of people say is probably the best player in the league, next to Sid Crosby, the whole George McPhee factor, being the general manager, wasn't. All of that put together, would you say that that's possibly, when it comes to the money situation, getting people in the seats and the ratings overall, wouldn't the Capitals be the better team for us to play in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Just from the Ovechkin factor, I think yes. But if we're being true here, and you know this as well as anybody, the NHL still is the fourth rated league behind the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball. And I don't think you're going to see stellar ratings no matter what. Now, let's face it. If it is, you know, Washington and Las Vegas, you've got yourself one major media market in D.C., which crazy hockey fans. There's no doubt about it. But how much are the people in the major cities, the top three cities in L.A., in New York, in Chicago, you know, even San Francisco, even Boston, are they going to be tuning into the Stanley Cup Finals, which they all view as Vegas as a nice little Cinderella story, but is it must-see TV? No, because there are no superstar elite players with the Vegas Golden Knights. You got Ovechkin, yes. Tampa Bay, on the other hand, we know that that's not a great sports town as it is. I mean, heck, I mean, the Buccaneers don't do well. The Rays don't do well. The Lightning, okay. And sure, they got the most points, the best record in the NHL this season, but it's just not a hotbed for TV ratings. So I think that either the Caps or the Lightning will probably result in lackluster TV ratings, probably Tampa Bay in lesser ratings. And for us here, it's a big story. But if you talk to people in the major markets or people, you know, west of here, I think they're saying, hey, we're going to watch the NBA.
I agree with you when it comes to that, because the NBA is going to be out there. And, of course, like you said, the NHL is not up there when it comes to the whole, all of the leagues that we do have going on. With that being said, it's going to be tough rating-wise. I think I would want to see the Capitals in there. The only thing that I think scares me is that if they're talking too much about Ovechkin, they need to realize that this team has a lot more than just Ovechkin. It's not just him. There's a lot more players on this team that can attack and kill these guys, and they got to be careful. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you. And that just bears out what we saw in games 1 and 2 in this series against Tampa Bay. You put up 8 goals in Tampa Bay against a great goaltender there, and it was more than Ovechkin, as you know. It was a lot of guys. So, no, again, they wouldn't be at this stage if it was just a one-man show. So they're deep. There's no question about it. Jose, I appreciate the thoughts and the calls, man. Keep listening. Keep following us, okay? Appreciate it very much. All right, we come back. We will continue on talking with you. And also, Bob Arum, the Hall of Fame promoter, John Frankel will join us, and Cody Eakin scheduled to join us. We'll work it all in one way or the other here today. It's the T.C. Martin Show coming your way here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, don't forget, we have got some great boxing coming your way. June the 9th, we're less than 2 weeks away at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, Top Rank Boxing. Big one, Terrence Crawford, best in the world, taking on Jeff Horn, who upset Manny Pacquiao. You remember that last summer in Australia. So tickets are available at access.com at the MGM Grand. You can also go to the Top Rank website as well, too, as we look forward to that. So it is our pleasure to bring on with us good friend, program, good friend in general, the legendary Hall of Fame promoter himself, president of Top Rank Boxing, Bob Arum. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, TC. Terrific.
All right. So busy time here, of course. Got a great card planned. We know that this card was originally scheduled for April, then Terrence Crawford had the hand injury. So is he 100%, Bob?
100%. We had him as soon as, I mean, we with a fighter like Terrence, you don't take a chance. He heard it in sparring, and we immediately took him to see Dr. Shin who was the leading hand doctor in the country, Steve Shin, who diagnosed it as a severe bruise, and then and said that Terrence would have to rest it. And then we had him go to his hand doctor in Omaha, who said the same thing. And so he rested the hand, and it hasn't given him trouble in sparring. He looks as sharp as he ever has. So we look forward to a great Terrence Crawford fight on June 9th at the MGM.
Jeff Horn upset Manny Pacquiao last summer in Australia, and we talked to you before that fight. I still remember that, where you said, hey, watch out for Jeff Horn. This guy could be dangerous. And sure enough, we expected to see, and I think you did too, Bob, if you're honest, a Manny Pacquiao-Terrence Crawford bout. But here we are with Jeff Horn, and maybe it's not so bad, right?
Right, because I had seen Jeff fight in New Zealand on a card that we co-promoted, Parker and Andy Ruiz. Horn looked terrific to me. So when the opportunity came for Manny to fight in Australia against Horn, we jumped at it. Now, Horn, I knew was an Australian Olympian, a big, tough welterweight, but I didn't believe that he had the skills to stay with Manny, and the fight was a tremendous, tremendous fight. Some people say Manny won. Other people say that Horn won, but it was a very, very close fight. And remember, you know, when you can't demean that performance, because Pacquiao in his prior two fights had fought Bradley for the third time and Vargas, Jesse Vargas, and beat both of them fairly easily. And then he goes in with Horn, and Horn gives him life and death and gets the decision. He really it has the size of a junior middleweight, and he gets himself down in weight so that he makes the welterweight limit. But he's going to outsize Crawford by a lot. In the fight.
Or Lomachenko, I mean, they're both your guys, and they're both probably pretty deserving. Tell us what you like about Terrence Crawford.
Well, Terrence Crawford is a real throwback. He reminds me of the great fighters of the 70s and 80s. The Sugar Ray Leonard, the marvelous Marvin Hagler, fighters like that, who Wilfred Benitez, who were real superb craftsmen, but also could punch. I mean, good defensive fighters, great offensive fighters, and always entertaining. And if you look at Terrence Crawford's fight, you see that. I mean, you see the brilliance, the excitement, and the devastating end results. So, you know, I'm not going to get into a debate on pound for pound between Val Lomachenko, who's a phenomenal, great fighter that we haven't seen the likes of before, and Terrence Crawford, who we've seen the likes of before in Sugar Ray Leonard. But the fact that you could compare Crawford to a Sugar Ray Leonard speaks volumes for how great Crawford is.
So how much of a threat can Horn be, even though he'll be the bigger fighter? And it just wasn't Horn's victory over Manny Pacquiao last summer. He looked great again in a title defense after that, right? So how
yeah,
much...
against the English guy, Corcoran.
Right. So
he's a really big, strong guy. This is a real test for Terrence Crawford.
It definitely is.
It's a real test because he's coming up in weight. 7 pounds doesn't seem like a lot of weight, but it's a completely different class in boxing. And the question is, can Terrence cope with these bigger guys? And can his punch be as devastating fighting the bigger guys that it was fighting the 135 and 140 pounds?
Hall of Fame promoter Bob Arum joining us, Top Rank Boxing, getting ready for June the 9th, Terrence Crawford against Jeff Horn at the MGM Grand. So, Bob, talk about how fans, if they don't go to the fight, how fans can actually watch this fight. Because we know you signed the big deal with ESPN last year. You showed the Pacquiao-Horn fight, which was great for people got to see it on ESPN. And then Crawford's last fight was on there. Lomachenko's last fight was on there as well, too. But this fight actually isn't going to be on ESPN. Isn't that right? It's on the ESPN Plus app.
It's on the direct-to-consumer, the ESPN app, ESPN Plus. And everybody who's watched ESPN Plus, of course, $4.99 a month. But you know, if you buy it and you don't like it, you can cancel it, and that's all it costs is $4.99. So for $5, you can have a look at this fight, which is a terrific fight, and will be exclusively on ESPN Plus, and content like you wouldn't believe. They have a section on historical boxing, which has, at any time, 60 to 80 the great fights in history, going back to Joe Louis and Rocky Marciano. I mean, it's real. I mean, you can spend hours watching the programming on ESPN Plus. They have soccer, they have lacrosse, they have college games, because the bandwidth is so big. For example, picture the Netflix. When you have Netflix, you have choices of hundreds and hundreds of different movies and television shows. Well, ESPN Plus is the same thing as far as sports is concerned, with the added thing that it has live events. And one of the premier live events that it will have is on June 9th, with Crawford trying to win the title from Jeff Horn.
Bob, I'm kind of laughing about this because here you are, that a guy that, you know, is in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. You promoted Muhammad Ali going back to the 60s and the 70s. Did you ever imagine the world that we would be sitting here now in 2018, we would be talking about, you know, watching fights on an app or ESPN Plus? It's kind of crazy, isn't it, how everything's kind of evolved. And credit to you, my friend, because you have evolved with all of the changes over the decades.
Well, that's why at 86 around.
I know.
Because I was able to evolve. Would I have imagined it? Are you crazy?
I know, really.
I started boxing. We didn't have satellites.
I remember the old closed circuit days where we have to go down to the arenas.
The telephone company lines. We had
right.
The ability to reach 370 locations, period, in the United States.
All right. Well, just be clear. You might be 86, but I'm not, Bob. So I don't want to be confused there. So
right.
All right. What's next for Vasily Lomachenko? He's outstanding. He's awesome. The fight against Linares was outstanding. Lomachenko even went down for a brief time, but it was a fantastic bout. And again, I think even though Lomachenko won the fight, Bob, he just continues to garnish more and more fans.
Right. We got huge ratings for Lomo's fight with Linares. He has spent a little time in Ukraine. He went back, but I understand from his manager, Igor Klimas, that he's coming back right after Memorial Day or on Memorial Day, and we'll sit down with him and we'll figure out when his next fight will be, but it'll be sooner rather than later.
All right. Manny Pacquiao against Lucas Matisse. I know you're going to be involved with that along with Golden Boy. So your thoughts about Manny real quick here. I know he's kind of coming to the end here, but it sounds like he wants to keep fighting.
Well, you know, a lot of senators in the United States make noises that they're big fighters, but the only senator that I know is a real fighter is Manny Pacquiao. So, you know, I don't know anybody who goes to a Senate in the morning and argues legislation, and they have plenty of arguments there, and then leaves at the end of the session and goes to a gym to train for a fight. But that's Manny Pacquiao, pretty unusual. And besides, talking about Filipinos, this Saturday in Fresno, we have this Jerwin Ancasas defending his title against Sultan, another Filipino, and that telecast will be shown on ESPN Plus.
Right, right.
It's Saturday afternoon from Fresno. So, you know, it's in the same period. You can, people should get the app, watch that fight. You can see how great the fights are on the app. You can watch it on your television set. You can watch it on the handheld device, and the production and everything is as good as ESPN when it's on the linear platforms.
You're amazing, Bob. All right, I appreciate the time as always. I look forward to seeing you at the MGM prior to the fight, and of course on fight night on June the 9th as well. Thanks
for
the
time.
Yeah,
I look forward to seeing you in Vegas.
There you go. Take care, Bob. There he is.
Right.
All right, Bob Arum, the Hall of Fame promoter, Top Rank Boxing. Don't forget, he's got a great card this weekend on television. Of course, June 9th, MGM Grand, Terrence Crawford and Jeff Horn. When we come back, we are going to talk to John Frankel from HBO Real Sports. Fascinating story on HBO's Real Sports this month with the NFL $1 billion concussion settlement. We'll talk to John about that. But as we go to the break, we are going to give you a chance to win WNBA tickets for the Las Vegas Aces this weekend. That's right. They're playing Sunday, the home opener at 5:30 p.m. at Mandalay Bay. We are going to take our first four callers at 876-1340. 876-1340. And you can go see the Aces on Sunday night. Don't forget, get the CG Technology mobile app. It is betting made easy, real simple for you. That's it. Go over to one of the fantastic CG Technology sports books and sign up at the M Resort, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, the Silverton, or the Palms. Of course, the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. The CG Technology mobile app, betting made easy. All right. Wow, great story last night if you caught HBO's Real Sports, and always a fantastic job that all of those guys do. Brian Gubble and our next guest, John Frankel, talking about the $1 billion lawsuit with the NFL over the concussion settlements for former players. And we are going to talk about this story because I think a lot of people thought, hey, great, you know, $1 billion, the guy settled. Well, there's more to the story with that. And you can catch John's story in this month's edition of HBO Real Sports, available all month on HBO and HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO On Demand. So join us now is correspondent John Frankel. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How about yourself?
Great, great. Hey, first of all, John, great job as always. You and the rest of the gang there at Real Sports, always a fantastic job. I can't wait to watch each and every month. And this story that you did, you know, you guys actually followed up a couple of times. And I know you reported this back in 2013. And then, you know, this is really bringing attention to this situation. When it was announced that the NFL had settled this suit with former players that were affected by CTE and the concussions and all this sort of thing, I think a lot of fans and people thought this thing was over. Like, okay, great, it was settled. But you guys at HBO Real Sports continued to follow this story, and we found out that these players and families have not been receiving any payments. So it's just a fascinating story, John.
That's right. I mean, as you pointed out, we've covered this story along with others, but we've covered this story pretty in-depth since, you know, this conversation came to light and became part of a dialogue in terms of players being hurt, brain trauma and repetitive hits and concussion leading to brain damage and CTE and other things. And, of course, 5 years ago, or nearly 5 years ago in 2013, when the league and the players announced that they had settled, we interviewed Chris Seager, who was the lead attorney for the class action suit representing the players, and he said this is going to be pretty straightforward and pretty easy from here on out, and players will have to just present paperwork from board certified doctors and legitimate claims, and there shouldn't be an issue, and we'll get to paying people. And and that, you know, here we are 5 years later, and we begin to, we were hearing things, we were reading things, and we said let's explore this. This is sort of, as you said, this should be the closing chapter to this book. And what we found is that by interviewing several players who are really just representative of a much larger pool, we didn't cherry pick here, that a bunch of these guys are not getting paid. That there's about $180 million that's been received by players to this point. And that money has gone to those who are most severely injured, as determined by the settlement. So those are guys who had ALS, died with CTE, Alzheimer's and such. But when you get to other forms of dementia, as you will, there's been very few players. In fact, just 1% make up the payments that have gone out to this point. And so the vast majority of these guys are still waiting. And, you know, Chris Seager, who represented the players, has taken almost as much heat from the players as the NFL itself in this instance, because some people suggest that he settled and didn't quite get it done for the players, and that the settlement is flawed.
Well, you reported that, you know, the settlement was for $1 billion, and I believe the number is somewhere around, what, $183 million that has only been paid out? So that percentage, like you just said, is very, very small that they've gotten the money. And I think the attorney has gotten $70 million, right?
Well, he hasn't gotten his money yet, but okay. That is one of the issues that some of the former players have, which is that he is set by the standards of the settlement, and it'll be determined later at the discrepancy of the judge, Judge Brody, who's overseeing this. But yes, he is in line. He and his firm are in line to receive about $70 million from the league. The league is on the hook for the legal expenses as determined by the settlement. And so a lot of players are saying, well, wait a minute, I haven't gotten a dime. And this guy's going to get all this money, and you told me it was going to be fairly simple. And to this point, Chris Seager thinks that he acknowledges that there were some, you know, hiccups in the beginning, that when they rolled it out and they opened it up for claims, that the things didn't go quite as smoothly as he had anticipated. But since then, he thinks things are on a roll, and he'll say that there's still a bunch of money that right now is about to go out the door, and players will soon be getting that. We just haven't found that to be the case. And the people that we spoke to thought that they were obvious candidates to receive money. And, you know, one point that critics would like to make is they say that the parameters of the settlement that were given to the third party, and we should make that clear here, that it's not the NFL that's declining or rejecting the claim. That a third party was agreed upon by both the NFL and Chris Seager, with the judge overseeing this. And so there's a law firm that is administering all the claims. And they're, you know, what people are saying is that this third party, given the parameters of the settlement, you know, some of those parameters favor the NFL, making it harder for guys who have real legitimate diagnoses, harder to win approval. And that the devil was in the details, and that some of that got negotiated away.
John Frankel joined us, correspondent for HBO Real Sports, who did this story and is playing on HBO all month. John, I know this is very close to your heart, too, this story, because you became very good friends with Chris Gedney, who was a wide receiver, and you guys did that story a while back, too. He played for the Bears and the Cardinals, eventually committed suicide. How difficult is this for you personally to do these stories when you see what these players are going through or what has happened to some of these guys that you become friends with?
I'm deeply saddened, and I know people want journalists, well, I think until recently people wanted journalists to be down the middle on these things. But, you know, having known some of these guys, having done stories with Kevin Turner, who became the lead plaintiff, one of the lead plaintiffs of this story. And I first met Kevin when he was just 6 months out from being diagnosed with ALS, and sadly he passed away in 2016. And you mentioned Chris Gedney, who I went to Syracuse. Chris was about 6 years behind me. We became friends afterwards. And I'm deeply saddened by this, and at times angry. And I want to be careful here. I don't want to say I'm angry at the NFL. I'm angry at the situation. I'm angry that friends and people I've gotten to know are suffering so much from this sport. And I know others who are sick and are dealing with other issues, brain issues, physical issues, as a result of all the brain trauma. And it's very difficult. And it has, I don't want to say it's become personal and that I'm out, you know, there's a vendetta here and that's the type of journalism we're doing. That's not the case.
No, I'm just
saddened when I meet these people and I get to know them.
John, we've got about a minute left. Real quick, what is next here, and how does this get fixed? Because we know, unfortunately, many more players are going to be affected by CTE and other injuries.
That's right. I mean, the settlement is in place for 65 years, which means that as a player's health deteriorates, he has the opportunity in 10, 20, even 30 years to file a claim if he's registered with the settlement. I don't know if it's going to get fixed. Right now, Judge Brody thinks it's going well, and those administering the fund think it's going well. So unless somebody really says, hey, wait a minute, and it could happen tomorrow, could happen 10 years from now, we need to, you know, scratch this and we need to start all over again, because there's still this game of making these players jump through hoops in order to prove that they're hurt and that they're damaged. So right now, in the foreseeable future, I don't see any changes coming.
John, really appreciate the time. And again, kudos to you. You do a fantastic job there with all the guys there at Real Sports. Really enjoy watching this every month. Fantastic.
You're very kind. Thanks for talking about the story.
You got it. And we'll talk to you hopefully down the road. Appreciate it. And next time we'll talk about maybe guys catching home run balls in the stands, huh?
Absolutely.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. And I mentioned one of the stories on Real Sports in the past was where there was this guy who's caught over, I don't know what the number is, like 10,000 different home run balls in real games and batting practices, and just has this shrine in his house. And John Frankel did a story about that a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah, that's the
crazy
lunatic who,
yes,
he snuck onto a military base, which is a story all of its own. I think it was the Braves. I can't remember who they played, but they played I think it was at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. They played a game there, and this lunatic somehow caught. First of all, he sneaks onto the base, then he catches the home run ball. I think, wasn't he the guy who caught, was it Alex Rodriguez's 500th
exactly,
home run or something?
Exactly, yeah. He positions himself in strategic places, does all this homework on analytical stuff on where these home runs are going to go, and that's his life. He goes to all these different ballparks every day.
That's kind of cool. I mean, if that's your thing, look, I don't have a problem with
but
it.
You're taking balls away from little kids.
No, you know what?
He's doing that, too.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the last time I caught a foul ball, I was swarmed by about 10 kids. So, you know, I just found a kid and handed it to them. I mean, I'm not going to stand there and hold on to the ball like a jerk.
As you should. There you go.
Yeah, well,
give it up to the kid.
I will say this. I got a foul ball at the World Baseball Classic. Did not give that one up.
Well, certain things, you know, you got to go on your mantle. I get it. All right, I want to thank John Frankel from HBO Sports. See the story if you haven't yet. HBO on the go now, or HBO on demand, and is playing on regular HBO all month long. So thanks to John. Thanks to Bob Arum. Tomorrow, Big Bill Laimbeer is going to be joining us, the president of basketball operations for the Las Vegas Aces and the head coach. We'll give away some more tickets to the Aces home opener on Sunday as well. And more Vegas Golden Knights hockey we'll be talking tomorrow as well. All right, have yourself a good one. For Chris Chapman, T.C. Martin saying so long. Make sure that you check out the website at tcmartinshow.com. JT the Brick is coming up next. Hang tight for that. We'll see you tomorrow at 3.